Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat Podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Kevin, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. That's right. It's 2017. Well, I have a question for you, and let me just dive right in. It says, I have a question about confession of sin. I feel I could fill all of my prayer time just confessing sin and asking God to help me repent. I can relate to that. Could you talk about what healthy confession looks like? Also, is it necessary to confess your sin to others? So there's kind of two parts to this.
I grew up Catholic, and so I had to go to confession a certain number of times a year. And I go in and, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 6 months since my last confession, or 3 months, whatever, and these are my sins, and list them off. And
I have to ask you, if it was 3 months, how long would you even be in there?
I had such fun in there because, by the time, you really are thinking this matters, I'm in high school doing this and, submitting to my mom, her authority there. And so, I would go in and I would confess real sins. And I remember the priest saying on more than one occasion, you have a very sensitive conscience, young man. No, I just know I have real sin in my life.
Yes, right.
So, but something I draw from that, I identify with this person. I could confess my sins all day long. And what I realize from my days is in the Catholic confessional was it was more of a self-loathing kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Just these are my sins and boom, 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 this big laundry list. And we could absolutely do that all day long with ourselves. And I think we sometimes live there. We're full of self-loathing. We see our weaknesses and our failures, and we kick ourselves so easily. And we confess all the terrible things we're thinking and that we've done or failed to do. And the list is endless. And sometimes after doing that, we may feel like, I got that off my chest. But where did it go? Mm-hmm. What happened? Is there anything more to that? And yes, there is. And I think it's getting to the heart of what I would call repentance, true repentance. Confession is not just feeling bad about your sin or even just naming these sins. I mean, confession leads us to repenting, and repenting means to turn away. But I think getting down to the heart of things, and David does this in Psalm 51, where he says, I wash away all my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. He's committed adultery with Bathsheba. He's killed Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, had him killed in warfare to cover his sin of adultery. But then he gets down and, of course, this is after everything's been found out. And he says in Psalm 51, verse 4, against you, Lord, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. And this doesn't mean that he hasn't sinned against Bathsheba or Uriah. But David's getting to the very heart of what confession and repentance is, that I see my sin before a holy God and I realize You're really the only one that I've committed this atrocity against, because you're the judge. The law is yours. The standard of what is right and true and good is yours. And I have treated you as something less than you are, O God. Mm-hmm. I have moved into the position of being God, and I've dethroned you. That's where David is getting at. And I think that's where true confession, repentance has to go. Do I see my sin as an offense against this good and gracious and holy God? And when we get down to that level, you know, we may even be more undone by our sin. But, you know, before I move off to kind of the good news, we need to get there. And I think part of that also, when we realize that we've sinned against God, what is it that we've really done? Okay, so let's say I told a lie about something. Lord, I'm sorry I lied. You know, I lied and, you know, I realize I lied, you know, and I've sinned against you. And we can leave it at that level, but I think true repentance brings us further down into the heart to ask, Lord, why did I lie? Lord, what was going on such that I turned my back on you and chose this lie to, you know, cover myself or get something for myself? At the heart of that, Lord, I didn't value you or something that trusting that you would provide. And so often that deeper stuff in the heart deals with pride, unbelief. I just don't believe truth about God. I don't believe that he cares for me, that he loves me, he's going to provide for me. So there's unbelief in my heart. And then just rank selfishness, where I choose my desires over God himself. I choose to meet my desires instead of in him, in something of the flesh, something of this world. And so that pride, unbelief, and selfishness is usually at the very heart of our sin. And until we confess and get down to that level and see this on the personal level of how I've offended God, I've mm-hmm. chosen something over the Lord, that I think is true repentance, and that we really are undone when we get down to that level, especially if we're Christians, because we realize, man, I've sinned against grace. Mm-hmm. You've been so kind to me, so good in Jesus, and I have blown past that. Mm-hmm. And that's when you're at that level, I think, you know, your heart is broken. I think you are where David is in Psalm 51, against you, and you only really have I blown it. I've heard others, but Lord, you're the primary relationship here, and I have ignored you and rejected you. And when we're broken at that level, okay, then where do we go? Well, the really great news of the gospel is, and I think true confession and repentance, you've got to go take this next step, get to the gospel. And, you know, so many great descriptions of where the gospel is, but, you know, Romans 8:1 and the whole Romans chapter 8 is just magnificent. But therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. So, I mean, that's a powerful statement there. What it says is my life has been shifted out from under law, sin, law, death, to the grace of Jesus Christ. So I'm living my life under an entirely different category, Jesus, rather than law. So, and this is, I think, the hardest thing for us to do is to believe this. We tend to think, I've blown it again. I've lied. I've been selfish. I got angry again. You know, I who knows what the sin might be, but you know. I use my tongue in the wrong fashion. But we think, Lord, you would love me if I just got my act together in this category and I could somehow master this sin. Mm-hmm. We think that, and that God is holding us at arm's length until we get our act together. And that's just a false understanding of grace and of the power of the gospel. Jesus has removed us from the courtroom, and he's put us in the living room with the Father. We're not on a stand being accused. Our relationship with God is not hanging in the balance. Whether or not God's going to love us or care for us, it's not in even the question in God's mind. We are in the living room of God's love and grace. And Romans 8 goes on to talk about that some more. In verse 8:15, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. This is what comes in the gospel. and by him we cry, Abba, Father. So who are you? Who am I? We are sons of God. We are children of God. We're heirs. We have the Abba, Father cry within us through the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 5 talks about being a new creation in Christ. Romans 8, 1, again, no condemnation. And the hardest thing to do is to see myself in that category. But that's where I've got to land and to believe the truth of the gospel. Mm. And this does two things. One, again, it undoes us because, Lord, here's this sin over here. That's not who I am. It's not, I'm this. I'm a child. I'm one you love and have forgiven. And I've gone ahead and done that. So another, in a way, again, it undoes us even more. We see we've sinned against grace. But it also breaks the heart in a good way. And it makes what Christ has done even more precious to us. And I think a power within us that enables us to, one, pick ourselves back up, thank the Lord that he has not judged us and washed his hands of us. He loves, he forgives. My identity is safe and secure in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I can grab hold and rest in that. But then, now, Lord, help me to live out of that. And so to say no to this indwelling sin, these temptations that come my way. And I think, you know, the battle is not won overnight. Sometimes it's years and years and years battling the same things. But, you know, that victory does come. And I think the great victory is when we rest in Christ. But I do think over time with some sins, if somebody's, you know, got some repetitive sin in their life, there is victory over it. We hate it more. And, you know, we're battling this thing. Okay, maybe I'm tripped up, you know, today, but I wasn't yesterday, that, you know, the week before. And, you know, we're able to say no to these things. That's that ongoing work of sanctification, applying the gospel in our fight with sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. But coming back to the confession, I want to go all the way down. What is it in my heart of pride, unbelief, selfishness? There may be an idol that I'm bowing before, something that I'm viewing as my true salvation, my Savior, rather than God himself. And I need to confess those things to the Lord. And so I do that. I claim the promises of the gospel, my new standing that I have, that is not my doing. It's given to me as a gift that I'm a new creature. It's given to me as a gift that I have the Holy Spirit and that Abba, Father cry. It's given to me as a gift of grace that I'm an heir and a son, a daughter. And so I live in that. Now, do I have to confess my sins to others? You know, that was the other part of this question. And James 5 talks about confess your sins to one another, pray for one another that you may be healed. And interesting, he's talking about sickness there. And that's the context. And, you know, this is a tough one. I've been in groups where all of a sudden there's this people confessing sins, and sometimes it's like, you have the cringe factor where people confessing things like, you shouldn't be saying that publicly. And, you know, I've been in college groups way back when where, you know, revival, people hoping for revival, so they're confessing sins. And, you know, I really hesitate to jump on board with that. If I have sinned against you personally and I've hurt our relationship, I think the James 5, there's a sickness in our relationship. There's something broken that needs to be healed. Yeah, I may need to come and confess that. I think that takes wisdom and discernment. Somebody is getting up, you know, if it's been a public sin, and they confess it publicly, okay, I get that. But if it's a private sin, to confess that publicly, I I caution against that. Again, God may call us out. He may have us do that for the sake of others. Kind of teaching the body of Christ. The depth of God's grace and the deceitfulness of sin, things like that. But I think when it comes to confessing your sins to one another, I've got a very dear brother in the Lord, and I regularly meet together and say, yeah, these are areas where I've struggled. These are sins, that I know have just been plaguing me, and this is a brother who hears my confession, and he may have a word of scripture. He may ask some questions deeper of the heart and soul. And he will pray for me and get me to the gospel, and help me stand up again. And I do the same for him. And I've done that with some folks. People will come to my office, and I've heard their confession of sin, and it's not a time to condemn, but to hear that confession and to bring them to Christ and find some of this. This relief, this gospel relief in him. So in that regard, I think that can be very powerful and very helpful in a person's life to know that you can go to somebody, and this has got to be a good friend. Generally, rule of thumb is men with men, women with women. Sometimes people come, and I've heard men and women's confessions as a pastor, and I'm absolutely open to that. It can be very powerful that somebody kind of knows the contours of your soul, your spiritual history, mm-hmm. and is able to bring the gospel light into that darkness. So I do think that's helpful. So to confess your sins to one another. Just want to be careful who that one another is. and if you can find a good friend in Christ who will keep your confidences, who will love your soul, and will speak honestly with you, that is a tremendous gift. And I think that's something that the body of Christ needs to offer one another. So, does this person asking this question immediately have to go out and confess his or her sins to somebody? Well, no, but you may want to look for that person that will be kind of a just somebody who will walk with you in dark places and help you get to the light of the gospel in mm-hmm. Christ.
Well, and I appreciate that in both cases, in talking about confessing sin generally and in the question of whether to do that with someone else, what you've pointed us to is to say in each of those cases, what the healthy part of that is to be pointed back to the gospel. If it's with someone else, that person, part of what they're going to do is to point you back to the gospel and draw you back to that. So it's a very important thing for all of us.
And you want to be careful that somebody just doesn't say, well, it's okay. God loves you. Okay, that's almost along the lines of platitudes. Lord, we receive this confession, and this is sin, and this is against you, Lord. And thank you for this gospel of Jesus, that Jesus, you died for this sin, and that this brother or this sister is in the living room of your grace, and they're not having to prove themselves again. Would you free them from? So it's kind of praying along, right. deeper lines where you're really trying to apply the gospel, not just, God is love. He is love, but let's unpack that love and what it means and shine that into the sin, into the heart that's gone astray.
That's good. Or even in the case of a brother or a sister, saying in that context, you come in your brokenness, you come in your sin, and they say, this is not a bad thing, but they may say to you, but I still love you. That is important, but the bigger picture is, the gospel and God's love for you and his sacrifice and forgiveness for you. Oh, thank you. Will you pray for us?
I sure will. Father, thank you that you give us something more than just the opportunity to feel bad about ourselves. Thank you for the gift of grace. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit who does cry from within, Abba, Daddy, Father. And Lord, where our sin leads us to attack that very relationship that we have with you and to turn our backs on it, Lord, thank you that you do not wash your hands of us. Thank you that you love us and that this gospel of Jesus Christ is powerful. It has made us to be different people. Lord, we are not our sin. We are not what we're struggling with, but we are children of the Heavenly Father. We are sons. We are daughters. And Father, we pray that you'd enable us as people in this congregation to live in the joy and the freedom and the power of that as sons and daughters of the living God. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by whose grace alone we stand in that relationship with you. In his name we pray. Amen.